So the sermon title, if you're taking notes today, is called Mind Matters. And I'm going to be talking about mental health. Now, I don't know what your background is, what you've gone through, if you grew up in church or not. I grew up in church, and growing up in church, mental health was not really something that was ever talked about. And in fact, when it was brought up, like, there was a lot of stigma behind it. And just a lot of misunderstanding when it came to mental health. But the reality is like so many people struggle with mental health. And so just as we kind of get started here, I do want to say, like, as we get started, like, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that. I'm just a pastor and a person who, you know, walks alongside of people, does life with people, but who has also faced my own kind of mental health challenges before. And then I also do want to say, like, when I say mental health challenges and mental illness, when we talk about that, like, that covers a whole lot of things, right? Like, it's not just depression, but mental health can cover things like anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, eating disorders. Like, there's a lot of things that fall under that umbrella of mental health and mental illness, okay? Now, when I talk about mental health challenges, a lot of times we think, like, worst case scenario, like, extreme thing. Like, for example, somebody dealing with depression and they're bedridden for a few days and they can't move. But mental health challenges can actually look a lot like this. And I'm just going to give an example. Say we have somebody, I'm going to just use a random name. Let's say Ben, okay? I don't know any Ben. If your name is Ben, I'm sorry. It's just an example. I'm not talking about you. But let's say we have a guy named Ben. And Ben is going through life. He's loving life. And all of a sudden, he suddenly loses a family member, a parent or a spouse. So he's going through the grieving process. And then very shortly after that, Ben also loses his job. He gets laid off. Now, there's a certain part of processing things where, yeah, we're going to feel sad, we're going to feel grief. And naturally, like, there might be some mornings where Ben doesn't feel like getting up in the morning because it's just really hard. Maybe, you know, if Ben is single, if he's married, that helps to have a spouse or somebody that's there that can kind of do life with you. But maybe Ben is single, and so he has to cook for himself, and maybe it's just really hard to put meals together. So part of that is natural process of grief, but if that continues on for a prolonged period of time, then we can say that Ben is actually facing a mental health challenge, okay? So it's not always the worst case, extreme case one, okay? There was a recent study actually done in 2024, and the results were just released this year in 2025. And it was looking at the state of mental health in Canadian churches and how churches actually respond. Now, this study was actually done by a group called Sanctuary Ministries, which, if you've never heard of them, they're phenomenal. They do stuff to do with mental health. Sanctuary Ministries did it, and then another group called the Flourishing Congregations Institute. And what they found, I thought, was kind of staggering. So they looked at all the churches in Canada, like all denominations, all across the board, and they found that 77% of people in Canadian churches admitted to having mental health challenges or illness being, like, diagnosed, okay? So that's 77% of people. And then on top of that, 84% of people in Canadian churches actually admitted to having experience in helping a friend or a family member who was going through mental health challenges or mental illness. So this is in Canadian churches. Like, this is here. This wasn't in the States. This wasn't somewhere else. Like, this is in Canada, where we live. And this is really real. Like, mental health is no joke, and I think it's important for us to talk about, because if you actually think about it, like, looking at the stats, like, a good chunk of people probably here in our congregation have dealt with mental health challenges or mental health illness. Not only that, I think it's a necessary conversation that we need to have as the church, because I fully believe, like, God wants us healthy and whole. John 10:10, Jesus is actually talking and he says, I've come that they may have life and life more abundantly. And part of that abundant life, I believe, is not just physical health. It's not just emotional or spiritual health, but it's also mental health. And so I just want to say, if you are facing mental health challenges or you've faced it in any capacity or mental illness in your life, you're not alone. Okay, I just want to say that you're not alone. As I said, probably a good chunk of us have dealt with it at some point in our lives. And the reality is, if you do face mental health challenges and mental illness, like, that doesn't change God's love for you. That doesn't change how God sees you. He still loves you. He still cares for you. And please don't hear me, like, wrongly. I'm not limiting God. And I'm not limiting what God can do. Like, I've seen God do some pretty wild, crazy things. And I fully believe God can absolutely heal somebody in a moment. But I also believe that God can work through doctors and nurses. And so I also want to say, like, if you need to take medication to manage your symptoms, that's okay. It doesn't mean that you lack faith. It doesn't mean that you're a bad Christian or you're unholy. No, you're still fearfully and wonderfully made, and God still loves you and cares for you. Now, in all honesty, when it comes to mental health challenges and mental illness, sometimes life is really real, and sometimes these things can happen as a result of things that are out of our control, right? Sometimes mental health challenges or illness can come from somebody passing away and dealing with grief and loss. Sometimes it can come from things like trauma or abuse. Sometimes it can come from unhealthy thought patterns or lies that we've believed. Like, there's a whole range of things that can contribute to our mental health. And don't get me wrong, like, sometimes there can actually be a spiritual element to things. But I do also think that we as the church need to be really careful. Because I know in the past, when people have struggled, sometimes there's the mentality or the response of, like, oh, well, you just need to pray more. Or, like, oh, you just need to spend more time with God. But the thing is, like, if someone is actually legitimately struggling, facing mental health challenges or mental illness, having those types of responses can actually be more harmful than helpful. And so we need to be careful. Like, yes, if you're struggling, absolutely go get prayer. Because, again, God is very big and God is very good. And he can absolutely heal somebody. I fully believe that. And prayer can sometimes deal with the spiritual side of things. But we need to also be careful not to over-spiritualize things when people need help. And this is maybe an extreme example. But if you're spending time with someone and all of a sudden they're having a heart attack, absolutely pray for them. But at some point, wisdom would say, okay, we should probably call a paramedic or a doctor so they can come and help that person, right? So that they can intervene. And for us, when it comes to the church, I think it's the same with mental health. Like, there's no shame in actually going to see, like, that registered counselor, that registered psychologist, the doctor. Because I'm going to say something, and maybe this is controversial saying it as a pastor. Sometimes prayer isn't enough. Sometimes we actually do need more help. And that's okay. And I would say, actually, probably both are needed. So I even want to say, like, going back to the heart attack analogy, how do you prevent a heart attack? Because sometimes we think that, like, counseling and therapy and all that stuff is only for, like, the crisis extreme moments, right? But how do you prevent the heart attack? You eat healthy, you exercise, you take care of yourself, right? And I would actually go and say, like, if you haven't gone to see a counselor or a psychologist, even if you're like, oh, yeah, I'm fine, I don't need to see this, I don't need to deal with this, that can actually be preventative. from getting to that crisis moment. And so even if you feel like you're okay, I would recommend, like, go and see the counselor, go and see the psychologist. Because one thing that I've learned both in leadership and just in life, doing life with people, is the things that we choose not to deal with in our life will come out one way or another. And it might not come out right away. It might be, you know, weeks later, it might be months later, it might even be years later, like 20, 30, 40 years later, but one way or another, it'll come out. And so it's far better, in my opinion, to actually just go and deal with the things that need to be dealt with. Now, as I said, I think both prayer and counseling are sometimes needed, because walking with Jesus and getting prayer can actually deal with the spiritual side of things if there's spiritual stuff going on. But actually seeing the registered psychologist or the counselor can actually, what that is equipping. Because it can actually help us identify unhealthy thought patterns, unhealthy lies that we've been believing and living. And it's also, like I said, it's equipping. It can actually teach us and give us the tools that we need to be able to deal with those mental health challenges when they come. Okay? So I would say that both are necessary. Now, if we think about it, mental health challenge or illness, while they're not always talked about in the church, they're also not really anything new. So many people have struggled in one way or another. And if we actually look at scripture, there's a few people that dealt with kind of mental health challenges or illness. If we look at King David, right? To this day, he's known as one of the greatest kings in the history of Israel. He was an accomplished warrior. He was a musician. He wrote a good chunk of the book of Psalms, which were actually songs that were written and played to music, put to music. So he was a creative. He was a musician. He was known as a man after God's own heart. And yet scholars actually think that King David dealt with depression. Because if you actually look through the Psalms, there are actually verses where David writes about his tears being his food day and night. He actually talks about, like, how he's bedridden and he can't get out of bed and his body feels like lead, like his bones feel like lead. And he actually describes the symptoms of depression. Then there's people like Job. Job was somebody in the Bible who, like, he went through a lot. Like, he literally lost everything. And scholars think, like, it wasn't over a period of years. It was literally over a period of months. He lost his health. He lost his family. He lost his finance. He lost his friends. Like, he literally just, like, was devastated, lost everything. God did redeem and restore those things. But he still went through a season. And so because of the circumstances that he faced, he went through mental health challenges. And he got through it, but he still struggled. Then if we think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, now please hear me out. Jesus was perfect and sinless, okay? Fully God and fully man. But I believe there was a moment in the Garden of Gethsemane where he actually faced a mental challenge, right? Because what happens? He's praying in the garden. And he's actually praying and he's saying, God, like, if there's any other way that we could do this, like, let's do that. But if this is the only way, like, I'll go through with it. And he's facing the reality of death, his death on the cross and crucifixion. And it actually says in scripture that he was so distressed that he started to actually sweat blood, which is a very real medical thing that can happen. It's very rare, but it can actually happen. And if you look up the definition, it happens when somebody is under a high degree of stress or distress. And so I think it's safe to say that when we face mental health challenges, when we face things like that, or we struggle, like, it's a very normal and a very real part of being human. If you've lived any period of time, you know that we all have highs and we all have lows in this life. But I fully believe that God wants us all healthy, and whole. Now, there are some things that I think we can glean or kind of learn from Scripture to help us when we do face those mental health challenges, but also to help us kind of stay healthy mentally. So the first is this: don't isolate yourself. Be in community. Don't isolate yourself. Be in community. Genesis 2, verse 18 to 22, it's talking about Adam in the Garden of Eden. It says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man." So from the beginning of creation, God said it was not good for man. It was not good for people to be alone. And so he creates Eve to be a helper, to be a friend to Adam, for them to be in community and communion with one another. Now, I do recognize, like, this is like the first marriage relationship, but they were created to live and love and do life together. And I do want to say, like, marriage is awesome and it's great. I do want to say, like, you can still be in community and have friends. And I would even go so far to say, like, if you're married, that's awesome, but you also need friends too. If your spouse is your only friend or your only connecting point, I actually think that that's unhealthy. And so I want to encourage you, regardless of whether you're married or not, like, get to know people. Make friends. Because, again, if you're married, it's healthy to have other couples that you can talk to. But even still, like, if you're a guy, have guy friends, godly guy friends that you can talk to and hang out with. And if you're a girl, like, have godly girlfriends that you can talk to and hang out with. Because, again, that's healthy, regardless of whether you're married or single, okay? Now, all throughout Scripture, we see people were called to do life together and be in community. And if you think about it, like, the people of Israel, right? When they come out of exile, they were slaves in Egypt. They came out of exile. You can read it in the book of Exodus. And when they were coming out of Egypt, I mean, because of sin, they ended up having to wander the desert for 40 years. But they lived in community. And they lived together. They did life together. On top of that, Jesus was also in community with people. We read in Luke 10 that he actually had the 72 that he raised up and trained and sent out. But on top of that, he also had the 12 disciples who he lived and traveled with and did ministry and life with. But then within that 12, he also had his three besties, Peter, James, and John. Now, yes, there were times where Jesus would go off by himself to pray and spend time with his heavenly Father, okay? But a good chunk of his time was in community. It was traveling with these people, camping out, doing life together, hanging out, eating, doing ministry. They were constantly in community. Not only that, but even after the crucifixion, so after Jesus died and rose again, he ascended back into heaven. This is also, this pattern of community is also something that we see in the early church. Acts 2, verse 47 to 48, it's talking about the believers in the early church. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people." So we see, like, they actually spent time together. They hung out. They ate meals together. They lived in community. Church, we aren't called to do life alone. We're called to be in community with one another. Genesis chapter 1. It actually talks about creation, and it talks about God creating the heavens and the earth. And if you read through chapter 1, I find it so fascinating because it says, like, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the sea and the birds, and it goes on and on and on. And then we get to verse 26 to 27, and the language changes. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish and the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And again, like when you read through that passage, it always says, God said. And then all of a sudden, it's like, God said, let us. Which might sound funny. But if you think about it, like God is three in one, right? So we have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and then we have the Holy Spirit. All three make up God, but each one also makes up a person of what's called the Trinity. All three are in constant communion and community with one another. And so that makes me think, like, how much more, if God needs to be in community, how much more do we need to be as his people? In 2021, Stats Canada did a survey, so this is like pandemic era, and they actually found that close to half of Canadians who feel lonely reported fair or challenging mental health. In comparison, for those that said that they rarely or never felt lonely, only 7% reported fair or challenging mental health. Those stats dropped significantly. Right? Like from 50% to those that felt lonely to 7% for those that never felt lonely. The World Health Organization, they also report that social isolation and loneliness are linked to things like anxiety, depression, and suicide. Church, again, we're not called to do life alone. We're called to be in community. We're not called to live in isolation. And a few years ago, Pastor Danny was actually preaching, and he was talking about being in community, and he made this quote, and it always stuck with me, and it's a characteristic of hell is loneliness and isolation, and it's true. See, one of the biggest tactics that I think the enemy likes to use to keep us alone and isolated is to make us believe when we're facing those mental health challenges or facing mental illness, to make us believe that people don't actually care. To make us believe that people won't actually understand or they'll reject us if we talk about it. And yeah, okay, there's always that risk that somebody might reject you. But in all honesty, I think there's a bigger risk in staying in isolation. Especially when we're struggling. Because I fully believe when we keep ourselves in isolation, we actually leave ourselves vulnerable to the thoughts and the attacks of the enemy. I always like to equate it to this. If you think about like the African plain, right? Think of a safari. There's all the little gazelles and the little animals, right? They're so cute. Who does the lion or the hyena go after 100% of the time? They don't go after the herd. That's too much of a risk. No, they go after the little baby or the little adult that's off by themselves and not paying attention. Why? Because there's easy pickings. And church, it's the same with us. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. That might sound harsh, but I fully believe like there's protection when we're in community. There's wisdom in being in community. And I actually want to say life groups are a great place for this. Life groups are a place where we can actually get to know people, where we can actually pray for one another, where we can actually talk and get to know one another. They're safe places. It's important to have those safe places and those safe people that we can go to talk to be vulnerable and honest. And so I just want to encourage you, church, if you're not part of a life group, get into one. Get into one. Find those safe people and those safe places. Be like Jesus. And even if you have like two or three people who you can really, you know, sit down with and talk, people who will listen and who we can trust and who will rally around us and pray, and vice versa, because it's not one-sided. People that we can also pray for and encourage. But I just want to encourage you, like, if you're just like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know who these people should be, like, you can pray about it too. And you can ask the Lord, and I fully believe, like, he'll show you who those people are. But we need to be intentional, because the thing is, we'll never get to know people if we keep ourselves in isolation. We'll never know who those safe people are supposed to be in our lives if we don't spend time with people. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Part of carrying each other's burdens, again, is spending time with people. It's getting to know them. Job, we already talked about, he was facing mental health challenges, but he ends up saying in chapter 16, verse 20 to 22, my intercessor, that's a person that's praying for him, is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God, on behalf of a man, he pleads with God as one pleads for a friend. 1 John 4, verse 11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Again, part of loving one another is actually being in community. It's knowing people well enough that when you see them, you know, oh, hey, something's up with this person. Let me go talk to them. Let me pray for them. Let me listen to what they have to say. It's being a safe place for people. But on the flip side, it also takes us being willing to open up. It also takes us to be willing to be vulnerable, to be honest about the things that we're facing and struggling, and actually talking to those people who are safe and healthy in our lives. Don't isolate yourself. Be in community, okay? My second point is this: spend time with God. Part of taking care of our mental health, and I would say even more so when we're struggling or facing mental health challenges or illness, is actually spending time with God. Again, I think Jesus is the greatest example. And I mean, he's the one that we're named after and that we follow. But all throughout his time on earth, Jesus would spend time in community, but he would also intentionally go off and spend time with his heavenly Father. Consistently, he would spend time processing and praying. And we see this all throughout the Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They tell the account of Jesus and his life on earth. But we see it after the feeding of the 5,000. We see it in Mark 1, verse 35, where Jesus literally spends a whole day doing ministry. And it's like an exhausting day. Like, he's just healing the sick and casting demons out. And he's doing all of this stuff right after he goes and spends time with the Lord. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's facing the reality of death and the crucifixion and everything that he's going to have to do, what does? He goes to spend time with the Lord. He's intentional in spending time with his heavenly Father. And I think we need to do the same. See, so often when we're struggling or we're facing mental health issues or challenges or illness, there's a tendency that I've noticed. And that's we pull away from people and we pull away from God, which again keeps us in isolation. Going back to Genesis, we can see from the very beginning with Adam and Eve that we were actually made to be in community and communion with God. Like Adam and Eve, they walked and talked face to face with God. And then, of course, because of sin, they end up getting separated. But it's always been God's desire to have relationship with us. God always loves to hear from us. God always loves to spend time with us, but I think sometimes when we're in the midst of, you know, facing mental health challenges or illness, we start to believe the lie of, well, no one cares and God also doesn't care. God doesn't want to hear about my problems. He doesn't want to spend time with me. But that's totally not true. God sees each and every single one of you. He loves you and he cares for you. James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. See, the beautiful thing is when we're actually willing and intentional in spending time with God, he responds back. And I actually believe when we face things like mental health challenges or mental illness, even in the midst of everything, like God can give us strength. He can shift our perspective. He can give us wisdom to face the things that we're facing with. I know in the past I've spoken about it before, but when I was in college, something ended up happening, and it actually put me into like deep depression. And I'm not normally a person that's like depressed. And it was the first time in my life that this had happened, and I was literally like bedridden for like 3 or 4 days. And I was living at home at the time. My parents didn't know what to do because they had never, ever seen me like this. And I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't move. I didn't eat, which somehow, like, the Lord sustained me in that because I'm diabetic. So the fact that my sugars didn't go out of whack or go low or anything. But even in the midst of all of that kind of suffering and pain and brokenness, there was a process of drawing close to the Lord. Even in the midst of my pain and brokenness, when I didn't fully understand, it was in that season that I really learned to see the goodness of the Lord. And it was in that I really learned to walk closer with him. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so I just want to encourage you, church, like whatever you're facing, in the midst of our mental health challenges or illness or whatever it is, like the reality is there's a peace that comes with spending time with the Lord. There's a peace that comes with knowing that we aren't alone. And so I just want to encourage you, when we're facing those mental health challenges, when we're in the middle of the storm, when we're struggling in any way, or even know somebody who's struggling, like just be intentional. Don't isolate yourself. Don't cut people out. Spend time with people. Be honest and vulnerable. Get prayer. Spend time with the Lord. Because honestly, and I think I can speak for all the church staff team, like we genuinely love and care for every single one of you guys. And like, we don't want to see you struggling alone. We don't. We don't want to see you guys getting picked off by the enemy. God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. Even if you don't see it in the middle of the brokenness, in the middle of the pain, we don't want to see you struggling alone. Now, mental health challenges or illness are a really hard thing to go through. But honestly, it's a lot harder to go through when we don't have a relationship with Jesus. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus is actually speaking and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's life. Church, there's rest, there's hope, there's joy, and there's peace when we bring our burdens to the Lord. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to carry the weight of everything alone. John 10:10, Jesus is speaking and he says, I've come that they may have life and life more abundantly. See, as I already said, like God desires a relationship with each and every single one of us. But there's a problem, and that's sin. Romans 3:23 actually says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Meaning what? Meaning that no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, it'll actually never be good enough. Like, it's not actually enough to be a good person, I'm sorry to say. Being a good person is great, but it's not going to get you into heaven, and it's not going to give you a relationship with God. The reality is we're all sinful and broken. And I'm saying that as a pastor, like I'm broken too. We're all sinful and broken. God is perfect and holy. And the reality is that sin can't stand in the presence of a holy and perfect God. But God in his love and his mercy and his goodness and desiring relationship with us, he sent Jesus, his son, to die a criminal's death on a cross, to take our place and our sin and all of our shame so that we could come back into relationship with God. Psalm 34, verse 17 to 18 says, "Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, he'll be right there. You'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath." Disciples so often get into trouble. Still, God is there every time. He's your bodyguard, shielding every bow. Not even a finger gets broken. See, church, God is more than willing. And he desires to run to us and to help. But we need to be willing to let him. Now, I have to be honest with you. If we do, that doesn't mean that all of our problems will magically go away. We'll probably still struggle, absolutely, because that's part of life. But it does mean that we're not alone. It does mean that we're not forsaken, that we're not forgotten, because we have a God who fights for us. We have a God who walks with us, who can strengthen us in those seasons or moments of hardship, in those mental challenges that we face, who can lead us and teach us. Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." That's it. That's all it takes. And so we're going to just take a moment to pray. And if that's you and you're like, "Yeah, I really want a relationship with Jesus," we're going to just take a moment to pray. And church, if you've already prayed this, that's great. If you could just repeat after me as well so nobody gets left out. But let's all just bow our heads and you guys can repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for dying for me. I ask you now to forgive me of all my sins and all my mistakes. Make me new and heal my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.